This morning's title, if you're into writing and taking notes, is It's Time to Get Out of the Boat. Okay, so what is the title? It is time to? All right, excellent. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we have to understand something. This passage of scripture is right after, okay, it's right after John the Baptist was just martyred. So Jesus was told the news. He went away in a desert place to pray, okay? But because of who Jesus was, a group still followed him. So now we pick up after, now this is unbelievable, he's already done miracles all day, okay? So what was Jesus really trying to do? He was trying to get alone and pray. But you have to understand, Jesus didn't come to do miracles, but because he was compassionate, what was he always doing? What was he always doing? Miracles. It's okay. You're allowed to talk back. Matter of fact, if you sit up straight, feet in the floor, hands in your lap, no talking, we might even give you some candy. We'll see. Boy, that's the first time some of you have been smiling this whole day. This is great. We'll pick it up in verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the village and buy them victuals." That's in the Greek translated Chick-fil-A. But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart, give them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Does anybody else read these miracles and your mind just kind of blows up? Do you have any idea how hard it would be to get 5,000 people to sit down? Not to mention women and children. Have you ever tried to herd children? It's like herding cats. But yet Jesus did it. And the Bible just kind of, oh yeah, you know, they fed 5,000. And many people were filled, and it was a great miracle. Yeah, you know, no big deal. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. I really cannot blame the disciples right now. I mean, wouldn't you be just a little freaked out if all of a sudden you saw something walking on the water towards you? I would be. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down to the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, before we're too hard on Peter, before we're too hard on the disciples, let's take in context of what's going on and what's happening. Now, I'm going to use this as a springboard for some principles I think we can learn from this. And as you're taking notes, point number one, always remember who we are putting our faith in. So point number one is always remember who we are putting our faith in. Remember, my hope is in Christ. It's not in some vague being or great person. My hope is in the very Son of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand in the throne of God." Beloved, you need to understand something before we go any further. If you were in this auditorium this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get that fixed, solved today. Let me check that. Not today, this morning. Not just this morning, right now. You need to, A, admit that you're a sinner. What is a sin? Anything I think, say, or do that breaks God's law. And if we've broken one part of the law, the Bible says we're guilty of all the laws. So how many times do I have to lie to be a liar? Just once. How many times do I have to steal to be a thief? Just once. How many times do I have to sin to be a sinner? Just once. So if you just sinned one time, you are a sinner. And because of that, the Bible says you are guilty. Guilty of death and separation from God forever. Now, real quick, most historians, even those that consider themselves atheists, believe that there was a man named Jesus. There's all kinds of history that proves that. They would even go far to say that they believe he was crucified. The difference is, B, do you believe he rose from the grave? That's the separation. You might say, yeah, I believe there is a Jesus. Yeah, I believe he did great miracles, whatever. Yeah, but did he raise from the grave? That leads you to see, choose or confess him as your Savior. It just says that I'm acknowledging I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm acknowledging that Jesus is the only way. He even said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, get saved today. Get that settled today. Make today the day you get saved. So Peter's faith in Christ got him out of the boat. Now, Peter obviously thought Christ could help him walk on the water. Did he not? This would be yes. This would be no. This would be, I have no idea. I'm hoping to get out of here soon because my mom, the wife's making ribs and I'm really hungry. Okay. He did because Peter would not have gotten out of the boat. So he had faith that Jesus could do that for him. Now, why did he do that? I have no idea. How many of you have ever been on Lake Erie when it's contrary? I'm here to tell you, it is not fun. Now, some of you may like it. You're weird. That's okay. I've been on the boat before where you're going up and down and all you see is water. And I'm like, I went two things. I went off this boat. Number two, I went off this boat. I was fishing one time and the waves are going all around. Everyone's fishing. I looked like I was holding on for dear life. And I'm trying to fish and I'm holding on. And finally, I'm like, this is not fun. I'm not having a good time. I just want to get off this boat. So they're not on some modern boat with a nice motor. They're on some, you know, wooden boat. Who knows? And they're on contrary. And Peter says, I want to get out of the boat. I think to myself, okay, Peter, that's different. But for whatever reason, Peter, though, now listen, he got out of the boat. And for a while, he was accomplishing a great feat. Why? He kept his eyes on Christ. And not only, do you know that he is the only person on this earth that I know of to walk on water? Other than Jesus, and he did a great thing. Beloved, can I tell you this morning, if you want to accomplish great things for Christ, you must keep your eyes on Christ. Don't put them on man. Don't put them on anyone else. Put them on Jesus Christ. Do you trust Christ enough to get out of the boat? You might say, David, are you expecting me to walk on water? Well, if you can, I'd like to see it. That'd be pretty cool. But maybe to you, witnessing to others is like walking on water. To you, maybe the county fair's coming up. That's a great opportunity to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of the boat, and go pass out tracts. It's a great opportunity. It's not hard. Are some people going to tell you no? Yes. You know what? You'll survive. You're not going to die. I was in Findlay. Remember, we had that opportunity to hand out about 850 gospel tracts. I won't go into it because I don't want to discourage you. But I had a guy go absolutely berserk on my head. Probably, it got to a point, it got a little intimidating. And I probably got in the flesh just a little. Because after someone yells at you a while, I'm like, dude, all right, I got it. And I'm not going to lie to you, Eric. I want it so bad to be like, wah! Just once, I would like to try that and just see what their response would be. Because he was going berserk on my head, really for no reason. And I finally just got out of there. But you know what? That's exception. Out of 850 homes, I probably had interactions, and I'm guessing, with 50 people, and like two people told me no. Most everyone said sure. Some people even let me pray with them. Some people even let me talk with them. You know why I don't want to pass out gospel tracts? I'm afraid. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid someone's going to say something mean. But remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Savior. They're rejecting the Savior. So here's the deal. Maybe working in Awana, it to you is like walking on water. Maybe working in the jail. Maybe assembling Bibles, passing out door hangers, teaching a small group. Here's one for you. I gotta watch my time here. How many of you have ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? I've watched that movie probably, I don't exaggerate, 20 times. I love that movie. I just love it. I still cry at certain parts. Isn't that ridiculous? I'm like, you've seen this before? Be strong. Dad, are you crying? No, there's a lot of dust in here. You know, the one part that tears me up almost every time is seeing the old man walk the halls and pray in the lockers. Beloved, I'm not picking on you. I'm your friend. Where's our prayer warriors walking the hall? You know, we're awful critical sometimes of ministries. Can I tell you something? Maybe we're critical because we're not praying like we should. How about we inconvenience ourselves and come in every week and walk the halls? How about you walk the pews during the week? Lord, bless this family. Lord, touch that teacher. Be with Mrs. Weezer. Give Pastor Holmes. Fill him with your spirit, Lord. Come on, prayer warriors. Where are you? Well, I'm too busy. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat and do something. You want to change Clyde? Get out of the boat. You want to impact others? Get out of the boat. You're not going to impact anybody by sitting in the boat. Get out of the boat. Maybe, just maybe, God isn't working because we won't get out of the boat. You may say, David, it seems impossible. Luke 18:27, and he said unto them, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. You know, we still serve the God of the possible. You know that? We still do. Well, how come God isn't moving? Maybe because we're saying, I'm out. Why is it we don't see the miracles and the crazy people doing wild things? Has God stopped working? I would say he's very much working. I'm wondering if people are like, that's okay, God, I'm out. I'd rather not. I'm a little busy. Guys, in love, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Say, God, use me. Don't you want to be used? Don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Don't you want to do great things for God? Get out of the boat. The good news is, as Christians, we can answer three questions that the world doesn't know the answer to. Number one, where did I come from? Psalms 139:14 tells us that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know where I came from. I came from God. Number two, why am I here? If I'm saved, I'm here to bring glory to God. I know why I exist. I know why David Weyrich is here. I'm here to bring glory to God. I have an existence. I have a reason to be here. Number three, I know where I'm going when I die. Look, I don't want to die, okay? I want to live. And I hope and pray I can live a very long time. I am 48 years old. I know, oohs and ahs, I don't look that old. I know. But believe it or not, I'm 48. Okay. If anybody wants any advice on how to build a body, I've been doing it for 48 years. I can help you out. Matter of fact, I ate 2 donuts last night. Because somebody, who left the donuts in the station? Sam? I knew it was you. Because I choked 2 of them down. They were sitting on top of the refrigerator. I'm like, no, who did that? That's the devil. I know it. It wasn't the devil. It was Sam. And if it does get mad enough, just when I'm trying to do health things, they're building the Dunkin' Donuts in Clyde. I thought, what happened the first 23 years I lived here? Do we have a donut place? No, but now we got to have a donut place. Yep. Why am I here? To bring glory to God. If you're still breathing, you're here for a reason, beloved. You're here to bring glory to God. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on you. But you can't serve God by staying in the boat. You can't do it. A faith that is tested is not a faith that is worth its salt. You want to have strong faith, it's going to be tested. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. So here we go. Point number one, always remember who we are putting our faith in. Our faith is in Christ. It's time to get out of the boat. Point number two, always remember when troubles come, why you got out of the boat in the first place. Always remember when troubles come, why you got out of the boat. Matthew chapter 14, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come out to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Remember what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Beloved, write this down. Keep it in your heart. Faith is the very foundation of everything a Christian does. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith. It's the very foundation of what we do. The very foundation of what we do is faith. It's faith in God. Faith in God. Now think about this, beloved. Peter got in trouble because he lost focus on Christ and he started to sink. The wind, waves, storm distracted Peter from his task. He started to go down. Peter lost focus of why he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat because he had faith in the Lord. Why did he start to sink? He forgot why he got out of the boat. Can I tell you? We must remember when serving Christ, troubles, temptation, criticism, discouragement, it's going to come. It's going to come. It's not all gummy bear and lollipops. I know what we think it's going to be when we volunteer for a WANA class. You're the best thing since sliced bread. Ryan, I love you. Bring it in. Come on. Give me hugs. That's not how it works sometimes. I wish that's how it was, but that's not how it works. Sometimes when we're volunteering for things, we get criticized. We get torn down. We get made fun of. We get discouraged. We make mistakes. I can't look at that. Why? I forget why I got out of the boat in the first place. When we start focusing on the wrong things, I'm not serving God for recognition. It's wonderful when it comes. I love the thank you notes, but that's not why I serve God. I'm not serving God for a pat on the back. It's wonderful when it comes, and it may come. But when it doesn't, why am I serving God? Because to bring him glory. That's why. I appreciate those in this auditorium. Can I make a declarative statement right now? Are you ready? Harvest Baptist Temple does not make it because of our wonderful staff. And I think we have a wonderful staff. I think we have a wonderful pastor. I really do. I think Pastor Holmes is a man of God. I believe without a shadow of doubt he should be pastor of Harvest. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart. But that's not how we make it. We make it because of the volunteer people of this church. That's how Harvest makes it. Now, you're going to need full-time staff to do a lot of stuff. You will. But I'm telling you, the nursing home ministry, the jail ministry, the WANA ministry, even the radio ministry only makes it because people help that don't have to. Don't you ever forget that. We need your help. Partner with us. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Let's get out of the boat. If I'm only doing ministry out of guilt because I want people to like me, you'll get bitter. You'll get burnt out. You'll quit. But the worst part, that's not the worst part. You know the worst part? It's not pleasing to God. Now, you may need to take a sabbatical, but let me tell you something. Don't get off the bus. Just change seats. I had a boss tell me that one time. He was over like 200 branches. So a guy like that's talking, you just sit there and go, huh? Yes. Great. Yes. He says, David, sometimes you shouldn't fire people. We should just make them change seats. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're in ministry and you feel like I'm kind of stalled. Don't get off the bus. Don't get back in the boat. Just change seats. Do something else. Maybe be that prayer war we talked about. Not about to say something going to get me in trouble. Okay, you ready? Brace yourself. Some of you already don't talk to me because I think Christians shouldn't drink alcohol. So here we go. Are you ready? Maybe some of us aren't giving like we should. And we're not supporting like we should. In that area, we should get out of the boat. I'm telling you, this is the most giving church I've ever been a part of. And it's amazing what God has done through the Harvest Baptist Temple. You know why? Because people are willing to give. I don't do it enough. But even this past Christmas, I sat my kids down before we open up gifts, before we even read the scriptures. And I said, I'm here to tell you the only reason why we can pay our mortgage, the only reason why there's gifts at all, the only reason why we can pay the utility bill, because people support the radio who don't have to, boys. I said, and we need to thank them and be thankful for that and give God glory for that. Amen. And I do it all the time. You know why I don't ride roller coasters anymore? Because if I want my heart to race, if I want to break out in a cold sweat, I pay the bills every month. Why am I passing out tracts? Why am I teaching junior church? Why am I working in the jail? Why am I working in the sound room? Why am I working Arana? Why am I working the radio? To bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Don't get discouraged. I've been there. Man, there's times. It reminds me of a story. A man woke up on a Sunday morning and told the wife, I'm not going to church today. She said, you're what? He said, I'm not going to church today. She said, you're not going to go to church? No, I'm not going. She says, you have to go to church. He says, I don't have to do anything. She says, oh, yes, you do. You have got to go to church this morning. He says, but I don't want to go to church. She says, you have to. He said, give me one good reason why. She said, because you're the pastor. I'm here to tell you, I had messed up my back. Thursday, being bullheaded. We had a big game night Friday. I'm telling you, I was in trouble. And I got on the radio. I probably do it more than I think I do. I asked the listener, would you pray for me? And a sweet elderly lady from Tiffin, Ohio, had about a five-minute prayer with me on the phone. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, I felt the prayers of his people. And I not only was able to do the games, I'm not sure how well we did them, but we did them because of God's people. Right. Beloved, I love you. We need your prayers. Get out of the boat. We need you. Get out of the boat. Remember, fear is what made Peter sink. Is fear crippling your faith? Is fear keeping you in the boat? Is fear keeping you from doing great things? Maybe there's some students at Harvest Temple Christian Academy that can't come because they don't have the money. Maybe you should get out of the boat and pay it for them. So David, you're always trying to boss us around. You talk to God about it. It's his money anyways. What's the worst that could happen? They don't turn out for God? Is that the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen? God gets a hold of their heart. And they're changed forever. Get out of the boat, beloved. Get out of the boat. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Get out of the boat. I beg of you. Partner with us. Help us. Let's do it together. Let's bring glory to Him. Let's change the world. Let's get people saved. Let's get out of the boat. Point number three, and we're done. You put your shoes on. We're almost done. So point number one, always remember who we're putting our faith in. Our faith is in Christ. Let me tell the story. I wasn't going to. You know why I get so emotional? I was a junior in college. I didn't know it. We didn't have the money to send me back to Pensacola. You had to have all the money paid. My dad didn't talk about finances. But I'm also not stupid. I could see what was going on. I said, Dad, I've done my best. I've worked. I've saved. I want to go back. He said, I know you do. I said, Dad, how are we doing? He said, David, God's always provided. He'll never fail. That was code word for we don't have the money. I was going to leave that Monday. And a person stopped by my dad's office. He said, Brother Wyatt, I can't explain it. God won't let me sleep. He said, he told me to give you this money. And it paid my bill. And I went back to Pensacola. I get sensitive about these things. Because I know what God can do. And I know how he uses people. And I know how lives are changed. Beloved, I love you. Let's get out of the boat. Let's do great things for him. Look what this church is doing. Look at the people we're impacting. It was absolute chaos some of the times game time. And there's kids running around. It was like, kids going everywhere. And there was some immature guy throwing water balloons at workers. I don't know who it was. It was terrible. Dennis Stenson, that was not me. Okay, I'm lying. It was. But still. Why are the kids so wild? I'm like, I don't know. Hand me a water balloon. You know, Peter had a little faith, did he not? See, point number three, always remember where to turn when your faith wavers. Point number three, always remember where to turn when your faith wavers. You see, Peter knew exactly where to turn when he got in trouble. Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. Peter had little faith. We know that because Jesus said that. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith. Telling me what? Peter was capable of more faith. And God can use your little faith. See, this is where we, you know how intimidating it is to be under a pastor as a 4.0 student? Got like A's in Greek. You ever heard that term? It's all Greek to me. That was me. Now, Wyrick, I'm normally back by the drinking fountain where they do alphabetical order. But I asked specifically, I would have sit up front. And like for the first 2 weeks of Greek, first semester, finally I'm like, Mr. Lucas, yes, David, which way do you turn the book to be able to read it? He's like, oh, you got it upside down. Wow, that's half my problems. You know, the Bible says that the people looked at the disciples and they said that they could tell that they were simple and unlearned men. But you know what they were willing to do? Get out of the boat. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the brightest. You don't have to be the most talented. You might have a little faith. Jesus says, that'll work for me. Let's get out of the boat. God can use your little faith if you'll take the first step. Get out of the boat. When you get in trouble, remember, he was actually walking on water. Now, here's the thing. We can only assume that Jesus, and maybe I overthink things. I don't know if Jesus carried him because he said he reached down. So he must have picked him up, right? And he must have been close enough. And I'm not trying to be, cute here. It doesn't say Jesus swam over to him. I'm not trying to be stupid. I'm trying to think that through. That tells me what? Peter was almost to Jesus. Meaning what? He was close enough to grab his hand. Sometimes we can't grab Jesus' hand because we're too far away. Turn, reach up. He's right there. Use that little faith. Peter turned to the right source. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe you were serving Christ. Maybe you were tithing. Maybe you were giving offerings. Maybe you were involved in ministry. Maybe you were coming to RU. Maybe you were faithful to church. You may have been doing things that honestly didn't make sense to people. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Get ready. Pastor Holmes has some unbelievable things he wants God to do. And some of them you're not going to think make sense. Be ready. Why? Because Pastor Holmes wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. I praise God for that. I praise the Lord that we have a deacon board that are godly men. I really believe that. I really do. And men, I want you to know, I pray for you often. I pray that God lifts you up. I pray that God encourages you. I pray that you help hold the pastor's hand. I pray for that. If you're discouraged, scared, tired, hurt, the waves will come. You feel like you're sinking. Get back to Christ. Get back to RU. Get back to church. Get back to passing out tracts. Get back to reading your Bible. Get back to listening to clean air. A little plug there for the radio. Get back to praying. Get back to Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight. And remember, the easiest place to be critical is in the boat. That's the easiest place to point out all the faults.
Well, I don't know why they're doing it that way.
Why don't you get out of the boat and find out? That'll preach right there. Wait, hold on. Woo! Yeah, David, that's good. Preach it, yes. Oh, man. Thank you, sir, for that encouragement. Thank you. Get out of the boat. Easiest place to be critical is in the boat. Oh, I know. We could do things different. Maybe we could lead the singing better. Maybe we could do something better. Maybe run to Christian school or the radio, or maybe we could make cheesy potatoes better. That was just a shameless plug to never forget to bring cheesy potatoes the next casserole thing. When you get out of the boat, you start to feel the pressures. But remember, he's there to hold your hand. It's not always easy to get out of the boat. I mean, the disciples were scared, but I guarantee it was easier to be in the boat than out of the boat. Peter cried out to Jesus. Jesus can save you today, beloved. I can tell you that Jesus is more than capable of saving you. He's more than capable of helping you. He's more than capable of healing you. He's more than capable of forgiving you. He's more than capable of uplifting you. Jesus can help you where you're at, and he can do it today. Are you sinking today, beloved? Get to Jesus. We like to kayak, and my wife's in here. This is probably not going to go good, but that's okay. I have maybe a little bit more of fear of water or respect of water, okay? My wife, if it's not, you know, parachute diving with sharks in, like, you know, torrential storm, she's like, let's make it more. I'm like, can't we just go the easy route? So we're on the river yesterday, the Portage River, right? I thought it was part of the lake because it was so big. And so we're kayaking, and these boaters are going by. What happens when boaters go by? Big waves. Now, I thought they were big. The boys are like, Dad, those aren't big waves. I'm like, first of all, I'm your dad. I'll tell you what a big wave is. That was a big wave. So we're going, and I'm trying to go, and the waves are coming. And I'm like, ugh! But you know what I did? First of all, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to look like Shamu if I get thrown over in this thing. How am I going to get back on the top of this kayak? But true story. You know what I did to help me? I know you're supposed to cut the waves at 45 degrees and all that. I didn't worry about any of that. There was a lighthouse I was going to. I looked at that lighthouse. I dug my paddle in, and I paddled as hard as I possibly could. I felt like that boat was actually above the water. I was paddling so hard. I wonder why all these people were staring at me. And I'm like, don't judge me. I've got to get out of here. The waves are coming. Sometimes we have to do that. We got to put our head down and just get to work. Don't worry about the waves. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Just put your head down and go. But remember, you're not alone. Pastor Holmes loves you. Pastor Holmes cares for you. Pastor Holmes really wants to know what's best. There's been times I have absolutely opened up my heart to him. And he's not critical. He just listens. He'll do the same for you. Church staff loves you. Let's get out of the boat. Keep your head down. Workers, keep working. Volunteers, keep volunteering. Do great things for God. In closing, remember, point number one, who we're putting our faith in. What's the answer? Our faith is in Christ. it's time to get out of the boat. Point number two, always remember when troubles come, why you got out of the boat. Why do I serve? To bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. It's time to get out of the boat. And point number three, always remember where to turn when your faith wavers. Are you sinking? Turn back to Christ. He's able. He's able.